Thank you for joining. Hey, a couple of words for those who don't know Peter. I've known him for a long time. He's the current Secretary of Revenue for the state of Wisconsin. Born and raised in the Kenosha area, still lives there, and was in the state assembly for 9 terms, 2 different stints. And so a real legislative veteran who's been, during all that time, he was somewhere in the leadership circle of folks in the legislature. He was a member of Congress for a couple of years, and he's a former Midwest Regional Administrator for the U.S. Small Business Administration. So, Peter, thanks for taking the time to join with us today, and I know you and your group are hard at work, so we'll just let you talk for a bit, and then we'll have some questions through our chat function.
Well, terrific. Thank you so much, Tom. And I have a couple of our staff people are on the call, too. Maria Garrow-Lapasic is our Assistant Deputy Secretary, and she's on. She would tell you a little bit about, she can talk when I'm finished here, a little bit about our tax operations and things that we've done. And also Kathy Friedel, who heads our new Badger Initiative, which is Business Development Government Relations. And it's a new initiative we started a few months into the Evers administration as a means to ensure that any businesses that had a challenge or an issue that they would have somebody directly to call. We created a whole website around the Badger Initiative. If you Google Wisconsin Department of Revenue and type in BDGR, you'll find it. It's actually right on the front page. We have a lot of very important information on there in addition to links to all the various other agencies, whether it be through the WDC, of which I've been a board member since its inception, as well as now with the Small Business Administration as well. And then additionally, with DWD for information about workforce needs, things of that sort. So I'd encourage people to go to that website because I think it really is very comprehensive. And now with the circumstance that we're confronting with the whole COVID-19, Kathy Friedel has made sure that we've kept it up to date and we have information about federal funds that are available for businesses that might need assistance during this health emergency period. So please feel free to go to that site. So I don't know, Tom, if you're able to unmute Maria or Kathy so they can kind of give you a quick update, and then I'll wrap it up if that's possible.
Sure. I think for Angela or Abram, go ahead and unmute everybody at this point, and I think maybe we'll hear from you.
Yeah, Angela unmuted me. This is Maria Garrow-Lapasic.
Hi, Maria. How are you?
Mm-hmm. Hi, Tom. Doing great. Thank you so much for having us speak to your folks today.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, there's about 30 of our board members on the line, and they're from all over the state and different sectors. So I know you probably knew that, but just as a reintroduction.
Thank you, Tom. The very first thing is, and I know everyone knows this already, but income tax filings are now due July 15th, or if you filed an extension in October, so will be due. Payments are still due the 15th of July, though. When the health crisis first happened, we started looking at ways that we can assist and be helpful to businesses, knowing that this was going to present a difficulty for folks to pay taxes and other workings with government. We realized we had a way to allow for withholding taxes to be paid a month later. You don't need an application for this, but for example, your withholding taxes due on March 30th. If you pay them by April 30th, there will be no penalty and no late filing. There is, however, a statutory interest penalty, but that can also be waived for the duration of the health emergency. The legislature gave us the ability to waive interest payments for the duration of the what they're calling the emergency period, which starts with the governor's executive order on March 12th and goes through 60 days. So for general fund taxes or transportation fund taxes, if there is a deadline that falls within that 60-day, that no interest will toll during those 60 days for general fund taxes. For any other taxes that you pay that are beyond that, for example, you know, dry cleaning fees or limousine fees or the resort tax, for example, those are not general fund taxes, so those get an additional 30 days. So the emergency period plus 30 days. And so we continue to look at ways to see how we could be flexible to help the business community, knowing that, you know, in the imposition of any kind of penalties or interest payment at this time is really only exacerbating a bad situation for many businesses. So we're trying to be sensitive to those. So if anyone has any other suggestions or feedback, we're happy to take it. Thank you.
Thank you, Maria. And a question here, and we don't have to get at it right away, but with the July 15th date, are you anticipating that will mostly be people who owe on their taxes and that will be a time when you might see more revenue coming in?
Yes, this is Peter Barca, and I would say that that's exactly what's going on. We have about 3 million people that file every year, and about 2.5 million have already filed, or maybe 2.2 million. But it mainly is people who have gotten refunds. Most W-2 taxpayers usually have somewhat of a refund coming back. And from what we can tell, like I'll give you a good example. This last week we had 55,000 people file, and of that, 55,000 checks went out. So it seems like people at owe money are probably going to wait closer to the July 15th deadline. The only other thing I might mention in that regard is we would really encourage people to file, you know, well before July 15th, even if you don't want to pay at that point. And the reason why that's the case is that, you know, there are, you know, scammers out there that are constantly trying to steal people's tax identities and their social security numbers, things of that sort. We invest millions of dollars every year in order to protect people's identities. And it's during that last week or two that we see the most activity by cyber criminals that are attempting to infiltrate our system. And so the thing that's important to recognize is you can file June 15th, and if you owe money, not pay until July 15th. So that's just one tip that people might want to follow that is, you know, could be valuable to your company to know that and to protect your identity. And usually when I give speeches, and you might remember, Tom, we were all together about 6 months ago in Milwaukee. I really enjoyed meeting a number of your board members back then. And of course, I talked before with some subsets of your group, even as a legislator. But during that period, you know, we talked in some detail about these issues and about one of the most important things we try to transmit to people is, you know, this whole thing about cybersecurity is absolutely real, and people do need to do all they can do. Of course, I'm talking to a tech council, so you're probably the last group that needs to know that. And but the other thing I would say before Kathy Friedel maybe talks just a little bit about funds and help that's out there on our site is, you know, we do very much appreciate your organization, Tom. I know that you guys are constantly doing very creative things like the governor's small business planning contest you put on and many of the other kinds of conferences where you're sharing technology and helping to encourage venture capital flow into the state. But the other reason why I'm so glad to be on is you guys also have an oversized impact, because I know from your group is where the best innovations come into the state. I know that you've got a group of members that are innovative and are bringing forward new processes and new products and new services all the time. And so we do very much appreciate you, and we do want to stay in touch. So with that, if Kathy Friedel can talk, that'd be terrific.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Peter. And great tip. File early, but pay on July 15th if you have to. Great. Thank you. Kathy.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Good to see you guys. We have not heard much from the tech industry yet. We, as this Badger Initiative, have, as you know, Tom, had meetings around the state and with various sectors, and I'll be very curious to see what you are seeing in particular. And as someone that worked with Secretary Barca for years, as you know, he's always made economic development and business a priority of his. And so we do have this Badger website up. It's been up, and keeping it up to date when the world changes this fast is quite a challenge. But I will let you know what's out there, all of it available on our Badger website, funding for businesses, particularly for this COVID time. And we start with the federal government, which obviously has the biggest pots of money with their CARES Act. I'm sure you know about the Paycheck Protection Program, which helps certain businesses. They ran out of money immediately, got the second round up in late April. As far as I know, there's still money there. That I checked today. The first one went very quickly, but it does still have some funds. They did switch the economic injury disaster loan applications now to U.S. ag businesses on a first come, first serve. That one was running out of money. They are giving $10,000 loan advances. Now, obviously, that's not going to help people in the tech council quite as much. The feds and the SBA website, they also have information on enhanced debt relief. They do have daily webinars to answer questions, which would be possibly helpful for some of the tech businesses. The IRS, like DOR, is doing things for tax relief on businesses impacted by coronavirus, which is basically everyone. They, on SBA, they also have information on some of their traditional programs, the Main Street lending program, and the U.S. Department of Ag has some programs for rural development as well. At the state level, I can tell you, like as Secretary Barca said, he's been a WEDIC board member from the beginning. They had an emergency board meeting immediately after the shutdown with COVID, and they set up a real quick program that they could get out through CBFIs. That was grants up to $20,000 for existing clients of CBFIs. Again, you know, limited, maybe not, it doesn't serve everybody, but all these are trying to find the niche that they can help. Then WEDIC had a board meeting again just a few weeks ago. They set up an ethnic minority emergency grant program. This is $2,000 grants to ethnic minorities owned businesses that have five or fewer full-time employees, and that can include the owner. And these are businesses that have not gotten that federal CARES money yet or the other WEDIC money yet. So again, that one, they haven't even really, they haven't even accepted application yet. That is going to be May 18th to 24th opening up, so very new. The other things that are helpful on the WEDIC website is the EVERS administration has put out opening guidelines for a variety of businesses, ones that are a little harder to imagine, the health clubs opening up, the hair cutting, you know, things like that. Not just, you know, office workers, it's a little easier when you're working from your computer. So that's on there as well. So that's the state level. And then also, as they've mentioned, of course, DOR, is doing some immediate help for small businesses on sales tax and other things they can do with tax relief. There's also the Wisconsin SBDC that has 13 locations around the state. They're helping business owner understand the qualifications and applications process for like this economic injury disaster loan program. So that's available as well. And from the beginning, there has been local help. There are grants, again, it's usually targeted for smaller businesses, Main Street businesses, but Racine has money, Dane County has money, Sauk has money. There's a Brew City match, for example, that has a little over $1,000 grants, 1,200 grants for small businesses. It's for rent and payroll. They also have an emergency loan fund. And then various ethnic chambers, the Hmong Chamber has an emergency loan fund. Generator is hosting emergency one-week virtual programs. Kiva has loans to, again, more of the minority chambers. And one of the things that went so fast, but the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, during one of these calls, I was really excited because it was just now opening up on a Monday. And by the time our call on Tuesday, the money was gone. It was gone. I thought maybe hours. People told me they thought it was gone in minutes. But there is a U.S. Chamber of Commerce Safe Small Business Fund as well. The Wisconsin Humanities Council is doing some work. And LISC has some small business relief grants. So that's a lot of information, but it's all on our Badger website. And like I said, I'd be very interested to hear what you are seeing in the tech industry. That's something I don't know a lot about right now.
Sure. We'll open it up. And by the way, for all our board members, you'll see there's a chat function on your screen, probably on the lower one-third. And if not, it's probably on the right side, but you could lob in some questions from there. That would be very helpful. And yeah, Kathy, thanks for that and all your updates. We're trying to make sure that in our Tech Council Current, which is our newsletter, which has gone Monday through Friday during this period, that we're putting up links to everything that is hopefully of use to people in the community. So that's great.
This is Peter Barker. Just two more things maybe I'd mention real quick. One is that I know that the governor is looking to create one additional program through WEDC for small businesses. So be tuned in. We haven't even met as a board yet in regard to this. I know I talked to Missy Hughes earlier today, and I know they're working on pulling together some information for our board to take a look at. But I think in the next week or two, you'll see another opportunity from the state level. And then finally, the governor just issued an executive order as this call was starting to turn the dial. You know, he's talked about it's not a matter of flipping a switch and everything's open. It's slowly opening up as it's, safe to do so and turning the dial little by little. And he just entered another one to allow business, any like retail-based businesses, whether standalone or in strip malls, can offer shopping for up to 5 people at a time. And Kathy, I think someone alluded to that, but just you might want to keep an eye out for that. I know it's hitting all the news services as we're speaking here. So we'll have information there, and I'm sure Kathy will get it up on our website before long. So. But please keep an eye either through our website, WEDC, Department of Health Services. There's a wealth of information. I know you're running a business, so you don't have time to sit there and be on the website all the time. But just flipping them open, there's usually a section for new breaking news and information. So I would have somebody in your staff periodically take a look at that. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, Tom.
Yeah. Thank you, Peter and Maria and Kathy. Peter, one other question here before we close, and board members feel free to ask. Are there, what I would call maybe some standing tax credits that could apply to the tech industry that maybe were there long before this virus ever hit, related to R&D that they should be sure not to forget as they go through their filing process?
Well, certainly we do actually have an R&D credit currently, and as you may or may not know, during the budget, we had just before we had to get everything into the governor, we had about a dozen companies send either their CEO or a key person from their company in to ask us to increase the R&D refundable tax credit, and the governor proposed doubling it. From 10% to 20%, at 10% we're, kind of near the middle of the pack, maybe even a little below. This would have put us near the top of the pack. And it certainly was fairly highly touted by a wide range of people. Unfortunately, and shockingly to me, frankly, being a legislator, because normally these kinds of issues are fairly bipartisan, and the governor being an educator definitely saw the merit when they came in and asked us to increase that credit. And, So I have every reason to believe the governor will propose that again in this next budget, but we were surprised because we believe that would really be such a huge plus, and will make Wisconsin more competitive. And as these the CEOs and their key representatives told us when they came, flew in to meet with us at DOR about it just a few days before the budget was due. They said, look, if we do the research here, then we're more than likely to create the products here and you know, create new processes in right here in Wisconsin. So I know the governor valued that. I think you'll see something like that come forward. Now, we actually have on our website one other factor. It's called the Tax Incentive Finder, where you can click on there and you can find the various kinds of tax incentives that exist. So, you know, take a look, and if people have follow-up questions, Tom, they direct them through you to us. We'd be happy to have things that are specific, research and form, and get the answer back through you, through the Tech Council, to get them back to people.
Yeah, very, very good. And yeah, I don't think you'll find much argument from us regarding future expansions of the R&D tax credit. It's been in our white papers in the past, and so perhaps this will get a good second look. Peter, if you got another minute or two.
Yes, oh yeah, I'm fine. I've
question.
Got
how much less revenue is the state expecting to take in this fiscal year versus what was projected? I know you've given some ballpark numbers on that, but perhaps you could talk about that a little bit.
Sure, let me tell you really more the factors that will influence that, because it really is hard to project. And of course, one thing we're very proud of is we have some of the, we have the top macroeconomists in the state working for the Department of Revenue, because that's part of our function, our research and policy division. They are constantly crunching numbers, and we subscribe to a service called IHS, which they provide us with data not only across the states, but also across the country. And this being a worldwide pandemic, you know, they're able to kind of share data from so many different sources. What makes it hard to have any kind of accurate estimate is the fact that it's really difficult to predict how long this health pandemic will last and whether or not there'll be a resurgence again. Because obviously, if we're able to avoid a resurgence and you know, as we're slowly opening up here with the governor's new executive order again today, and we don't have to close again, that's, you know, then obviously, I don't have to tell any of you, but that's going to help to have a quicker rebound, and we'll be in a lot better and stronger shape. But if in fact we have a problem, particularly with, to be frank, just with some of these, not too many, but there's, you know, a half dozen or a dozen states that, you know, they're not even practicing social distancing. If that spreads and all of a sudden we're back to where we were in March, I read, you know, just even in the Financial Times had an article that talked about how, you know, you're talking about trillions of dollars worldwide if, in fact, we have a second outbreak. So that's why I think we're trying to exercise an abundance of caution. So I really hesitate to put much of a number on it at this moment, only because, you know, it really is so hard to predict, and it's so health specific. And then the second factor, of course, is consumer confidence. You know, what we hear from economists, not only in our department, but, you know, across the country, if people have the confidence over the next month or two. And that's one of the things I think we've been pretty successful at in Wisconsin is having the testing and the contact tracing. We're in the process of hiring, about 800 to 1,000 employees so that if there is an outbreak, we can contain it. So that, therefore, we're able to still keep businesses open, but make sure people are self-isolating again for 14 days. So that's where the variation here, it's not like a normal type of recession where you kind of have a sense of maybe where the end point is. Here, because it's so health dependent, it really is hard to predict. But obviously it is extremely significant. I know the Fiscal Bureau talked about, you know, some $800 million being of an adjustment, but really hard to say with any definitiveness. I talked to Bob Lang, who's the head of the Fiscal Bureau, last week, and he totally agreed with the notion that really it's just a guesstimate at this point, and so much is health-related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Secretary Barker, I know, you know, your team includes economists who are also following all the different sectors in this. One of the hard hit ones, of course, is tourism. And, you know, we all realize you're not the tourism secretary, the revenue secretary.
Right.
But is there anything you're doing from your agency's end that could help with that sector?
Well, that's a sector that will be targeted in this next round with WEDC.
Okay.
One real positive thing is since this started, we did have daily conference calls with the cabinet, and now they're almost daily, where virtually every day the entire cabinet's on a call. We all are discussing the impact in various sectors, and Secretary Sarah Meany has, you know, talked very strongly about the need to protect the tourism sector and to have funds available and you know, to obviously the need to open as quickly as is safe to do so. And so I can say with some degree of confidence that you'll see with the next WDC program that, you know, the governor is calling for, and it hasn't been announced yet, so I don't want to speak too prematurely, but I know that the tourism sector will be part of, has been part of the conversation, and will be part of what we'll be looking to try to put together. So, you know, being on this call, you're actually getting more information than the average person has, I guess. But okay. It's important that you be aware that is definitely being considered very highly, and I know Secretary Meany's in the mix of helping us to fashion that.
Yeah. And here's a question that perhaps, again, might in some ways go to your emergency response center or to health and human services. But if an organization wants to volunteer with contact tracing, what's the process? With whom should they work? I think I've got an idea, but I'd love to hear it from you or your team.
Well, you know, we certainly would welcome that. We certainly can use all the help we can get in that regard. And ironically, our Deputy Secretary, David Casey, is on loan to the State Emergency Operations Center to head up this initiative. So they're in the process now of finalizing their plans. And so if people do have an interest in doing that, we certainly would welcome it, and they can feel free to, again, maybe through your operation there, Tom, they can, you know, give us their name, and I'll make sure that somebody follows up with them. And we also have Jamie Adams, who's our deputy division administrator at the research and planning, and she's over there too. So
yeah.
Plus about 18 of our staff. So we're playing a pretty big role in that regard. So you're if you reach out, we could stay in touch on this, Tom. We'll definitely follow up with you immediately, because your help could be very very important.
Yeah, I believe maybe that's the same. And feel free to send that to me. And that's true. I mean, a lot of these state agencies, such as Revenue, have volunteered or dispatched some of their workers to the emergency center. And that's where a lot's happening on. I know it's even happening with some private sector folks who have been called into duty here. So, yeah, I think I can help contact workers.
Yes.
Very good. Thank
you. Yeah, and I would just say, Tom, we've been so heartened as a state to see so many leading organizations that have helped with PPE and donating materials and helping to refashion their operations to help to be testing sites and bring forward, very, very helpful, both materials and processes during this emergency. I think we're fortunate as a state that we've got a very giving business sector that's been so helpful to us.
Yeah, definitely. Members of this organization, large and small, have been among those, especially on PPE and other related materials. So that's great. Anything else for Secretary Barca before we let him and his team go on their way? Well, again, thanks for all you're doing, Peter, and we'll be sure to continue to stay in touch. And thanks for those updates. Also, Kathy and Maria, same thing. Feel free to reach out to me as we move ahead if you've got other things you want to fill in.
We will. Thank you so much. We appreciate the Tech Council and appreciate each and every one of you who, you know, lead business organizations and private corporations and businesses that are doing so much for the state. So all the best and good fortune, and however we can be helpful, please let us know.
All right. Thank you, Secretary.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy and Maria.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
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 Okay, well, still on.